You've been hearing a lot about hybrid, but what does that have to do with SQL Server? Learn more in this episode of Data Exposed. Hi, I'm Anna Hoffman, and welcome to this episode of Data Exposed MVP Edition. Today, I'm joined by Alan Hurt. Thanks for joining us today, Alan.
Thanks for having me.
And before we get started, and you know, we're going to talk about hybrid, which is very interesting. It's something we haven't talked about before on the show. But before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I've been working with SQL Server actually since 1992. I interned at Sybase up the street here in Massachusetts when I was in college. And that sort of set me on my database journey. And I've basically seen every version of SQL Server that's been made for Windows since, got into clustering in the late 90s, and I've been doing consulting now for basically about 20 years, and speaking and training and doing all that stuff. So I have a long history with the product, long history of seeing lots of different deployments from physical on up to the cloud and everything in between.
Awesome. Great. Well, I think we're going to be able to leverage a lot of your experience here as we start to talk about hybrid. Now, I'm sure you've seen a lot of deployments on-prem, like you've mentioned, but what are some reasons that people might consider going to hybrid, or what are some challenges that lead people to hybrid? Can you just give us your perspective on that?
Well, hybrid, I think, to a degree, is where people feel comfortable, right? At least current today, so people viewing this in the future might have a different viewpoint. That's what I want to sort of clarify here, but a lot of customers who were traditional on-premises kind of are very still skeptical of cloud-based deployments. So doing something like a hybrid deployment, and in a few moments here, I'm going to explain more what that is, it's more of a comfort zone for them because it's neither all cloud and it's neither all on-premises. It's somewhere in between. And again, we'll talk more about that here in a few moments.
Awesome. Thanks, Alan. Well, I'd love to see a look at what you're seeing in deployments.
When I'm working with customers, you know, I've seen a pretty big shift over the years. So, you know, let's take a little bit of a way back machine. You know, 20 years ago, everybody was doing full on-premises deployments. Virtualization really didn't come in full force till about 10 years ago in the volumes that we're seeing it now. And now most on-premises workloads are virtualized, although we still have customers deploying physical systems. But there's also been the public cloud. Now, to me, the public cloud is a bit like virtualization in the sense that when it first came out, nobody wanted to do it. Everybody was just like, the heck with this. You know, we're never going to the cloud. It's not secure. You know, whatever. Everybody had a reason to do it. But over the years, that's evolved. But the problem is a lot of people see this as an all or nothing. We're either in the cloud or we're on-premises. And the truth is, there's something in between, and that's exactly what hybrid is. Because it doesn't need to be an all-or-nothing type of deployment that you're doing. Now, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the uses for SQL Server and what that looks like for hybrid. But there are some key sort of things that you need to understand with regards to hybrid that if you don't sort of grasp this, it might be a little harder. So, first of all, when you're thinking about Azure, for example, everything's just going to be an extension of your on-premises data center. Now, what does that mean? Quite simply put, what that means is today, if you're doing, let's say, disaster recovery, it's in another data center. It could be co-located or it could be owned by your company. Well, think of Azure as another data center, right? But in Azure, they have their own data centers and they have regions and all that stuff. But what that also means is that all your core infrastructure, meaning Active Directory, how you're dealing with DNS, all that stuff has to work with the cloud. Now, if you're using Microsoft DNS, for example, that means all that stuff needs to be there too. If you're using something else, you know, you can't just have those core bits of infrastructure on premises. Now, it doesn't matter if your on-premises services and servers are physical, virtual, whatever, because when you're connecting up to the cloud, because it's just an extension of your data center, nothing cares. It'd be like you were connecting on-premises to anything, right? Now, the two key things that I want to zoom in on here, because hybrid to a large degree is based on what we call infrastructure as a service, or IaaS, okay? And simply put, all that is virtual machines up in Azure. It's just like if you're doing virtualization on premises, just a bit of a different interface, some different knobs that you may touch. Whereas there's also platform as a service, or PaaS. Now, that would be things like Azure SQL Database, Azure SQL Managed Instance. Those generally are not hybrid because those are their own things. And hooking up, let's say, your traditional SQL Server instance to PaaS doesn't always work or isn't always supported. So all the hybrid scenarios I'm going to talk to you about coming up here are all IaaS based up in the cloud, okay? And finally, you know, people are calling this now, the terms are shifting. A lot of people are calling, if I want to go from Azure to another public cloud provider, and an example here would be AWS. You know, it can mean hybrid, it means cloud to cloud, but, you know, people are morphing that and they're starting to call that multi-cloud. But it's still a hybrid because what you're doing is you're taking two things that aren't necessarily meant to talk to each other and making them work together. Now, the biggest thing that you need to worry about, and I've seen this with a lot of my customers, is that your security obviously has to be paramount, but you also have to get from point A to point B, and that's networking. But how you do that is going to depend on your company. This picture is from the Azure documentation, and it represents a site-to-site virtual private network, or VPN. And basically, you're using, say, the public internet to have a secure point-to-point conversation between, say, your on-premises data centers and Azure. This is standard stuff. Chances are your infrastructure folks do this all the time already, and they may even use hardware for things like this. The thing that you have to worry about here is what, for example, would be your internet speed and how much of that would be gated, you know, and that would factor into your hybrid scenarios for SQL Server, because obviously performance matters. We also have a direct pipe up to Azure, and that's called ExpressRoute. It's a premium option that's not free, unfortunately, and you'd have to work with Microsoft and potentially your telco provider or somebody, some partner, to get that in place. And obviously, the faster you want your networking up to Azure directly, it's going to be more or less expensive, depending on what tier you want. But I will tell you, most of my customers ultimately wind up going this way, because this becomes critical infrastructure for them. There's no direct connect right now from cloud to cloud. There are other options to connect the clouds, but right now there's nothing direct in the way like ExpressRoute.
Thanks for explaining this. You know, I think you've covered a lot of you've almost demystified in a lot of ways what moving to the cloud actually means and what hybrid means for real world customers. So I really appreciate that. You know, I'm curious though, you know, what about actual SQL Server solutions that people can start to leverage today?
That's a great question, Anna, and that leads directly into my next slide, because that's where I'm seeing a lot of customers deploy things. So let's actually talk about these hybrid scenarios for SQL Server. The number one thing I see and the number one scenario that I implement with customers is disaster recovery. If you think about this for a second, it makes a whole lot of sense. Many customers can't afford to have their own data center somewhere else. And sometimes maybe it's even if they have DR in another data center, it's in the same region. So you're less than 50 or 100 miles away. Well, you could, for example, set up a disaster recovery scenario where you have some on-premises services for local high availability, and your DR strategy is to flip up to Azure, let's say, here. And you extend your data center, you can pick another region that's not even close to within your geographical region. And it makes a whole lot of sense, right? And ultimately, it's probably cheaper than running your own data center too. But, you know, obviously your mileage will vary depending on your scenarios. But this is probably the number one thing I see with a lot of customers. Another one I don't see very much of, but it's possible. It was introduced, I believe, a version or two ago in SQL Server, is you can actually use Azure storage for your on-premises SQL Server deployments to store their user data files, not the system databases, but the user data files. So the interesting thing there is, like, for example, if you had storage failures, Azure has reliability guarantees. Now, obviously, sort of what I talked about earlier, that's all going to go across the network. That needs to be secure, so you need something to handle that. And your performance needs to be great. Otherwise, if you have a very high-performing system, that's not going to work. There's some other caveats, and if you look at the links below, there'll be a link to the docs about this, so you can read up more on it. Another one that I would consider, to a degree, is probably one of the more important ones, is you can put SQL Server backups up in Azure. Now, that could be you're doing backups directly to Azure through backup to URL, or if you have an Azure file share set up and treat it just like an SMB or a server message block share. Now, the thing there to keep in mind is that if you're doing all your backups on premises and you're not copying them somewhere else and they're staying in the same data center and something happens to your data center, you might have no backups, right? Even just the act of if you're not using the native SQL Server stuff to back up to Azure, just copying them up to Azure and using it as archival storage. One of the best benefits that nobody really talks about here, actually, is because we can have VMs in the cloud, and a lot of people don't test their backups on premises because they don't have a lot of resources, you can spin up a VM, test your most important backups periodically, and that's a great hybrid scenario, and it gives you a lot of peace of mind. And finally, the last real scenario that we have today, and it was just announced recently when we were recording this, but by the time you're seeing this, this will be sort of hopefully more available, is Azure Arc-enabled SQL Server. Now, what does that mean? Azure Arc is a new concept which uses Kubernetes, and you can have multi-cloud scenarios. It's a really good thing, but this when they lit up stuff for SQL Server, which is this newer capability, for example, you can now take the inventory of your on-premises instances and servers and have them up in Azure. You can have Azure-based services look at your security as it relates to SQL Server. So this might be part of an extended data center or software-defined thing that your company is trying to do, where you're centralizing security and inventory and all that, and Azure Arc enables all of that.
Thanks, Alan. Again, I just really like the way that you've laid this out and you've kind of given us the story, but more importantly, you've shown us and viewers what people are actually doing, what you're actually seeing customers do. So I really appreciate that perspective that you've brought here today. If I could ask you one last question, you know, as you look at your customers, what would be the number one piece of advice that you might give to people today when they start to think about hybrid?
I would say, honestly, look at how you're going to get to Azure and what that means, because I have a lot of folks, especially on the networking side, that don't think that adding an extra hopper there, or they think that ping is a measurement of actual network performance. And the reality is that it's not always. So dealing with networking is probably the number one thing that I would start looking at today, because it'll be the thing that costs you probably the most. And then probably another quick piece of advice is, make sure when you're doing stuff in Azure, you size things appropriately. And we have another upcoming video that'll be sort of a part two that we'll be talking more about disaster recovery. But sizing VMs is going to be very crucial to that scenario, and we'll talk about that more in that video.
Awesome. Thanks, Alan, again, for joining us today. And to our viewers, thanks for tuning in. We are doing a part two, so be sure to tune into that next week. And if you like this video, please like our video and leave us a comment and let us know what you're doing as far as hybrid goes. See you next time on Data Exposed.